Charlie McCarthy Show, starring Edgar Bergen and Don Ameche.
Our guest this evening is the glamorous and talented Miss Lynn Berry. And, of course, our regular group is, as always, Ray Noble and his orchestra, Joan Merrill, Ken Carpenter, Effie Clinker, Edgar Bergen, and Charlie McCarthy.
Never seen so much blue sky and so much sun.
Well, Charlie, here in the Valley of the Sun, they have a sun to be proud of.
Yeah, and the dollars ain't so bad either.
Oh, is that why you're wearing cowboy boots and frontier breeches?
Well, that's the way they folks they dress out here, Joan. Why, they even put spurs on when they pitch horseshoes out.
Yeah, but you better take them off when you go jitterbugging.
Yeah.
Those spurs, you know?
I don't know what the point is. Say, how would you like to hear me sing an old roundup song?
Well, how would you like to listen to Joan Merrill singing Sentimental Journey?
Well, I reckon it's ladies first, I reckon.
Gonna take a sentimental journey. Gonna set my heart at ease. Gonna make a sentimental journey to renew old memories. Got my bag, I got my reservation. Spent each dime I could afford. Like a child in wild anticipation. Long to hear that all aboard. Seven, that's the time we leave. I'll be waiting up for heaven, counting every mile of railroad track that takes me back. Never thought my heart could be so yearning. Why did I decide to roam? Gotta take this sentimental journey, sentimental journey home. Sentimental journey.
Mr. Bergen?
Yes, Charlie?
How's things been going with you lately, old boy?
Well, quite well, Charlie.
That's splendid. I'm glad to hear it.
Except I haven't seen much of you since you received that $500 reward money.
Oh, yes, that's quite true, yes. Yes, we've sort of been drifting apart, haven't we?
Yes. Yes, Charlie, and if you ever get too far away from me, I don't know what I would do.
Mm-hmm. Brother, you ain't kidding about that.
Well,
I want to tell you, though, Bergen, that being in the dough, it ain't what it's cracked up to be.
Oh, it's not.
No.
You mean that you're not happier with money?
No, I'm not. I guess I'm just a bum at heart.
I hear you.
I like the simple joys of life, such as skipping school and getting into trouble.
Yeah. Well, you've done plenty of that.
Yes, I have.
But we have had a lot of fun together.
Yes.
Do you remember how you used to come to me and beg me to tell you a story?
Yeah. I still like them, too.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, Charlie.
Yeah.
I want to tell you one now.
Good.
I want to tell you that immortal story of Little Red Riding Hood.
Oh, yes.
Do you know why? Do you know why the little girl was called Little Red Riding Hood?
Because she wore black shoes?
No.
Isn't that silly?
No, her grandmother gave her a little short red velvet cloak.
Yeah?
And she liked it so well, she would never wear anything else.
Wasn't that kind of drafty?
Well, no. Now, one day her mother said, Red Riding Hood, your grandmother isn't feeling well, and I want you to take her this cake and this bottle of wine.
And don't forget to pick up the empties.
No, not please. So Red Riding Hood said, Yes, Mother, I will go to Grandmother's.
Or better still, let's all go to Grandmother's.
Yes. So you see, poor old Grandmother, she was very sick and very weak.
Yeah? I bet she wasn't too weak to pull a cork with her teeth.
Well, now. soon Red Riding Hood was on her way. It was a long walk because her grandmother lived in the deep forest, far from the village.
She was hiding out from the cops.
No.
Why did she live in the forest?
I don't know why.
You don't know?
No.
You don't know? No. Isn't that a kind of sloppy lack of research there, Hindenburg?
Well, to get on with the story, Little Red Riding Hood was walking along through the woods when she met a wolf.
Anyone we know?
No. This was a very crafty and a very dangerous wolf.
Well, she shouldn't have gone by the way of Luke Field.
Oh. And the wolf approached Red Riding Hood and said, where are you going, little one?
That's a very corny approach.
Sure.
Now, when I meet a babe, I just whistle and say,
all right, please, darling. Do you want to ruin this story?
Oh, you're doing pretty well yourself.
Red Riding Hood told the wolf she was on her way to her grandmother's house. And the wolf asked, where does your grandmother live?
Don't tell her, Ed. Don't tell her. You'll be sorry.
All right, buddy. Red Riding Hood did tell the wolf, and the wicked creature took a shortcut through the woods and arriving at grandmother's house first.
Yeah? I knew that old wolf was up to no good. I just knew it.
Yeah.
Oh, if I could only do something. Just sit here helplessly. I shall go mad, I tell you, mad.
Oh. When the wolf came to the house, he knocked and he shouted, open the door or I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down.
Has grandmother moved in with the three little pigs?
No. Maybe I'm a little confused.
Maybe. Get it right, chum. Get it right.
Oh, yes. The wolf rushed in then and ate up the grandmother.
That reminds me, what time is chow around here? Oh.
You see, he swallowed the grandmother whole.
That's awful manners, dude. You should never gulp your food, all right?
Yes. The wolf put on grandma's long nightgown and her nightcap.
Like the one you wear?
Oh, not that. Oh. And he got into the bed, and he was hoping that he would fool Little Red Riding Hood.
Oh, the cat. Boo!
All right.
I hate him.
And poor Little Red Riding Hood walked in, and the wolf sprang out of the bed and ate her right down.
Down?
Yes.
Eat a Little Red Riding Hood?
That's right.
Where are the MPs?
All right.
There is no excuse for that sort of thing.
All right. But fortunately, some hunters came by just then, and they slid open the wolf, and out jumped Little Red Riding Hood and her grandmother, safe and sound.
Mr. Burkett, don't you know any better than to tell a child of my tender age such blood-curdling stories?
What do you mean?
Don't you know the danger of a fear complex?
A what? Fear complex?
Haven't you read Freud, The Adolescent Neurosis?
No, I haven't.
Or Dr. Mitchell's The Conquest of Fear?
No.
Or Dr. Kartoffel's Parents Should Not Be Forgiven?
No, but I intend to.
Well, that's a poor excuse. You have failed as a parent.
Yes.
I have no more time. I must finish another book.
Oh, I see. And what are you reading now?
Frankenstein and the Seven Zombies. Oh, I...
John Merrill singing, He's Home for a Little While.
He's home for a little while. He's mine once again. No need to tell, but it feels simply swell with him close to me, where he's supposed to be. From the boy I used to know. a while ago. Strange how much he says without a word, and when he holds my hand, I understand I'm his, but forevermore. He's mine, mine alone. He's heart, but he's close to my heart. For the little one, he's home. He's sort of changed. He's kind of different from the boy I used to know a while ago. Strange how much he says without a word, and when he holds my hand, I understand I'm his, but forevermore I'm mine alone. We'll have to part, but he's close to my heart.
Daughter of the West. Well, how are you, Effie? I'm so very glad to see you.
Oh, Daddy. You mustn't do that.
Say, Don, wasn't that a wonderful ride we three had yesterday?
Oh, I should say.
Hey, you had a pretty lively horse, too. Or were you doing trick riding?
Well, I stayed in the saddle, and for me, that's a trick.
Yes.
What make horse were you riding?
Well, I think my horse was part Arabian and part roller coaster.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mine was jet propulsion.
Well, I think the highlight of our visit here was the square dance last night. And, Effie, you knew all the dances, from elbow swing to put your pretty foot.
That's right.
Didn't they ask you if your ancestors were pioneers?
No, they...
Oh, yeah.
You know, Ed, I thought I was going to have a dance with Effie, but she gave them all to that lanky cowboy.
Oh, you mean Skinny?
Yeah, he must have been 6 feet tall.
Well, I guess he would have been if he'd taken out his legs.
Yeah. Say, tell me, Effie, did you like him?
Well, sorry, Dad. Sort of hit it off.
Yeah.
He called me his saddlebag.
You know, he reminded me of some movie actor.
Yes, I think it was Hopalong Casserole.
Yeah.
Did he say he loved you?
Well, he said he loved me as much as he did his horse.
Oh, well, you tell him he'll have to choose one or the other.
I did.
And?
I was scratched.
Poor Effie can find solace in the Newport song, I Should Care, sung by Joan Merrill.
Then I count my sheep well.
funny how she can lull you to sleep. Oh, I should care. I should let it upset me. I should care. But it just doesn't get me. Maybe I won't find someone as lovely as you. But I should care, and I do.
You've had many thrills this week visiting the scenic wonders here in Arizona.
Yeah. It makes you grand.
Yes.
Hello, Edgar and Charlie.
Well, Lynn Berry.
Now, what have you got to say, Charlie?
Ain't nature grand?
Oh, thank you, Charlie. You know, this is so exciting to be surrounded by all these wonderful fellows, and they all look so bright and intelligent.
Well, if they're so bright, I don't know why they keep asking me questions all the time.
Well, what could they possibly want to know from you?
Your phone number?
Yeah.
Enough of that, Charlie. Now, you tell me about the wonderful things you've seen in Arizona.
Well, have you ever seen the hand-painted desert?
I saw it right after they put on the first coat.
Oh, you did. Yeah, well, let me tell you about the cliff dwellers.
No, Lynn, if you want to know about Arizona, let me tell you.
No. Let me tell you.
Oh, hello, Doc.
Hello, Lynn. Look, don't listen to these fellas. I am an authority on the subject.
You're always an expert, aren't you?
Well, what are you going to do about it, huh?
Well, I don't know. I wish I could think of something, though.
I'll bet you do.
Yes. It's annoying, I'll say that.
Yes.
How do you happen to know so much about it, Doc?
Well, let me start by telling about the petrified forest.
Yes.
Think of that. Wood turned into stone.
Ridiculous.
It could happen to you.
I won't do it just to be stubborn. I don't know why, but that man just doesn't strike me as funny. I don't know why. I just don't think he's funny.
Well, you know, personally, I thought it was loaded with wit.
Yeah. Now, go on. Well, I knew you'd be the first one to like it.
Now, boys, let's not quarrel. This petrified forest, it must be terribly discouraging to the woodpeckers.
You know, Lynn, I could talk for hours on ossified trees.
Yes, make a perfect ass of yourselves. Now, would you like to hear about what I saw?
No.
Well, I'll tell it anyway.
That's what I thought.
Now, I visited the cliff dwellers.
Oh, I say, Don and Lynn, just listen to this.
But, Ray, I was talking.
Well, I'm glad I'm not interrupting anything.
Yeah.
Ray, what have you been up to?
Well, I tell you, Don, I just got back from a wonderful sightseeing trip along the Colorado River.
Oh, Ray, did you see the Grand Canyon?
Canyon?
Well, the river flows right through it.
Oh, yes. Frankly, I thought it was a perfect washout.
Look, let me tell you about what I saw. Now, here was little me, see, traipsing all over the mountains. And what do you think I ran into?
Who? Measles?
No. The Indian village of cliff dwellers.
Well, what in the world were you out doing there with the cliff dwellers?
Lynn, have you tried to get a room in Phoenix?
Yes. Well, sir, I climbed up ladder after ladder and finally reached the dwellings on the side of the mountain. And had a long talk with the cliff dwellers up there. I must say, we got along very well, too.
You had a long talk with the cliff dwellers?
That's right,
Surely, the cliff dwellers lived over 1,000 years ago.
Yeah? Well, I get along very well with elderly people.
What I mean is, they're extinct.
Oh. How long since they extinct.
Well, Charlie, what did you talk?
One house there, and I hear somebody talking inside. And it sounds a little like a powwow, see? So I opens the door, and I walk in. And I say, forgive me, gentlemen. Gentlemen, is this a private powwow, or can I sit in?
Oh, come in, pale puss. We hold 'em Cliff Dwellers Chamber of Commerce meeting.
Oh.
Pull up a pow and wow.
Muchas gracias.
Oh, Squaw Pretty Puss. Why you want to come to meeting, huh?
Me believe Squaw should be represented at all meetings.
Oh, me too.
It's our civic duty. And remember, civic spelled backwards spells civic.
Proceed forward, Squaw.
Me believe in equal rights for women.
I'm for them.
Equal rights?
No, for women.
Then you embrace our cause?
Yes, not only the cause, but I squeeze the squaws.
All day long we work in the field.
Pipe down, pale puss.
You over there have said very little. Who are you?
I am Big Chief Buzzard Feather in moulting season. Yes, I'm the medicine man, you know.
Hiya, Doc. Do you have a good practice?
Well, yes, I do. Only my patients won't pay their bills, you know.
Well, why not, Doc?
Oh, they just don't live long enough.
Say, just who are you?
Who?
You.
Oh, I, Rainmaker, Big Chief Thunderhead.
Oh.
Well, why haven't you brought rain? Our fields heat dry.
I'm behind in my orders. And besides, I'm short on rain.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't you put away a few drizzles for a sunny day? If you're out of rain, how about a little sleep?
Sorry, sleep's frozen.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the way it goes. Well, I tell you now, don't bother me. I want to talk here to Pretty Puss. Tell me all about yourself, honey.
Well, before I was married, I was known as Princess Barry.
See, I met an Indian girl around here named Rosalind Barry. They call her Rosberry for short.
That was my younger sister.
Oh.
I'm the elderberry.
We're getting away with murder here. Ah, you're so cute. Marry me and settle down, and I'll live with you here as a cliff dweller. Huh?
Yes, but you know our housing problem. If Chief Thunderhead would only move, we could get his apartment.
Yeah? Well, I'll fix that, bum. Hey, Chief.
Yes, Pale Puss.
Let's play a game, see who can lean over the cliff the farthest, huh?
Oh, me good at that. Look. Hey, look how I'm leaning.
Well, you can lean farther than that.
Okay, here, look.
I'll help you. Here, I'll give you a little push. Oh! Bums away. Free cushion shot.
When your love Forces Radio Service.